Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Tuesday. This is Desiree without sound effects for our promo spotlight tonight, but you know what that means anyway. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals like a... And I'm not going to put him on the spot because he's a little bit occupied. Oh, there he is. Anyway, like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and the he is Kalen Patterson, and together we are P4P Real Talk. Kalen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling team awesome.
You're feeling team awesome. And that is us, hashtag team awesome, bringing it to you tonight for another great show on P4P Real Talk. And when I say great, we haven't done this in a while. You know, it used to be that every single week, twice a week, we would have an athlete on the show with us. And we have had athletes on the show, don't get me wrong, but we've usually been focusing on a particular topic of sorts, it seems, lately. And tonight, we're getting back to our roots, and we are here for the athlete's sake. And that athlete tonight is WNBF figure pro Megan Gaza. Megan, say hello to everyone in listener land.
Hello.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself tonight?
Sure. I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a WNBF figure pro, so I actually turned pro back in 2015. That was when I did my first competition, and then took a long off season after doing my first pro show then, and now I've just wrapped up my season here for 2017. So I just did three shows, and this was my first season actually competing as a pro for all my shows.
Wow. So I guess I wasn't really familiar with how you got started in competing. I guess I'm still not, and I want to hear that story. But it sounds like you have been, like, on top since day one. So your first show, you earned your pro card, took off a long extended season, and you came back, and you just keep on winning. So that's pretty darn awesome. You're one of those fairy tale stories that we hear about that we know happens, but doesn't always happen for everyone. So why don't you take us back to the beginning and tell us about how you decided to get started in the sport and, you know, how you jumped into your first competition?
Yeah, so I used to compete. I used to be a dancer back in high school, and I played sports. And then when I went into college, I actually struggled quite a bit with weight gain and just some disordered eating issues. So that was really tough for me. And then when I got out of college, I actually lost weight the wrong way, just doing excessive cardio and a very restrictive diet. So I've always actually struggled with food and with knowing the correct way to exercise. And then I actually started working with Chad Adamovich with P4P, and he helped me reform my diet. He has written all my strength training programs and kind of introduced me to natural bodybuilding. And I still remember going to my first show to just watch, and I was sitting in the audience thinking, people actually do this? I was pretty surprised by the sport in general. But then eventually, a couple years later, I decided to start lifting myself. So I've been training for about 5 years now total, and I just got addicted to it, and the improvements that you see and just the confidence that you gain that translates into other areas of your life. And I never really intended on competing initially. I just liked the lifestyle and just feeling healthy and strong. But eventually, the competitive side of me took over a little bit, and I decided that I just wanted to give it a try. So I did my first show in 2015 and just went in really with no expectations. I just wanted to do this for myself and see if I even enjoyed it, which I really did. And I did well, which was really, really surprising for me. And then just competed in my first pro show 2 weeks after that. So it was kind of a whirlwind, but I really needed to take the time to make some improvements to my physique. So that's why I decided to take some time off to be able to do that.
Well, now, one thing I'd like to mention is because a lot of people will hear what you're saying, but they might gloss over what you said prior to competing, and that's basically doing things that were already engaging those muscles, because a lot of people, like, there's a lot of things we do on a daily basis that are overlooked in our life because it's what we do on a daily basis, so it's something that's just normal. But you've been engaged in those muscles that you have for a long time, especially with dance, because, I mean, especially, you know, thinking about posing, you, and dance, everything's about posing because everything's about the being on point and staying in time and in tune, and that's a lot of muscle engagement, a lot of muscle activity. So please, no one think that she just basically said, okay, I'm going to do this, and then basically your muscles just jumped on. And then she jumped on stage and everything basically just went on it. She had a lot of prior muscle work, muscle engagement, and muscle activity. So.
Oh, yeah. And even with lifting in general, I think dance really lends itself even to lifting, just muscle memory and even helping with correct form when you lift. And then overall stage presence and posing, like you said, I definitely – credit dance for helping me with that. It kind of came to me pretty easily. It was almost second nature. So that, I mean, like you said, that those using those muscles, it wasn't something I just decided to do and picked up easily.
So I'm just going to take another step back here real quick because I'm curious, what kind of dancing did you do?
It was just a high school dance team, so, you know, they had, I don't even know what the categories are now, but it was, you know, like Poms, and there was a funk category or a hip-hop category, so just the regular high school dance team style.
Okay, very cool. I'm sure there might be some videos rolling around out there somewhere of that. That might be fun to see of Megan back in the day before she became a pro bodybuilder. But, so fast forward, you start your bodybuilding career, you get on stage, you take a long extended break. And now that's an area where, you know, some people are on the fence. There are those that think it's a good thing to take a long extended break and others that don't quite see the value in it. When you decided to take a break, did you plan to have it be as long as it was, or did it just kind of gravitate to be that length?
I actually said right away from the start that I wanted to take the longest off season that I possibly could. For the WMBF, you have 2 years before you have to compete again to keep your pro status. So I wanted to go as long as I possibly could just to give my metabolism a break. And I just knew in order to be more competitive, I would just really have to put in some work. And also, it's a hobby for me. I love competing, but I'm really more passionate about the lifestyle, and I just enjoy lifting and, you know, the nutrition side of it. So competing is kind of secondary, and yes, it's really fun to do, and but for me, I really appreciate the balance, and there was a lot of things I wanted to do with my family and friends, and we all know that competing and prepping repeatedly, it just takes a lot out of you just financially, and it takes a toll on your social life. So I really wanted to just give it some time, and then I wasn't really in a hurry to get back on stage. So I took the max off season and decided from the beginning.
But I still like the fact that, you know, especially since you're P4P, we can tout our horn, is that there's so many people gathered around that can basically just jump right in to get you to basically pick up where you left off. And I think that's a really, really nice thing to have, because there's so many things that don't happen that are basically, you know, you can see it ahead of time. And if you can't see it, then somebody that's in your corner can help you see it. And it's the real deal. It's not that sugar-coated, oh, you look fine when you're looking like 5 weeks out. You know, it's a reality. And I love that people have been doing that, and I love that we have so many that are so engaged in the sport that, you know, stuff like that can happen. So how does that help you when you have that kind of family and that know what they're talking about, not just basically having a gym look, but actually having a stage look that can win?
Well, I think support in this sport is everything, whether it's, you know, your coach or the P4P family, and just staying involved in general has, you know, been beneficial and kind of keeping you geared toward the stage even when you're taking that long off season.
Yes.
What did you find was the biggest benefit of taking the longest off season? I mean, aside from the obvious, gave you more time to grow and develop, but beyond that, what else do you think is advantageous to, you know, taking longer than 4 to 6 months off during an improvement season?
I think just taking a mental break and being able to keep that balance between the life of a competitor and then your normal day-to-day life. So for me, it was just nice to be able to do any kind of travel that I wanted to do, to spend time with family and friends, just focus on some other things while still living that lifestyle, but not having to be in that grind mode all the time that you're in when you're prepping. So for me, I'm just really big on balance. Like I said, this is a hobby for me more so than, you know, my entire life. So I just try to keep that in perspective, and especially during the off season, it's just nice to have a little bit of a break where it's not your focus day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. And where you can eat cookies mm-hmm. and donuts.
Yes.
Right, Kaylin?
Here we go.
Oh, hey, and by the way, listener land, if I didn't mention this earlier, I forgot to, but Kaylin had a birthday the last time that we were with each other. So happy birthday, Kaylin. And, you know, if anybody out there didn't get a chance to wish him a birthday, do send him some happy birthday vibes, because everyone should celebrate their birthday at least for a full 30 days. I mean, that's just my opinion on it. So let the birthday shenanigans continue. So there we go. Happy birthday to Kaylin. Sorry I forgot to throw that out there earlier. And the only reason I bring that up is because his birthday was also on National Donut Day. So you can't have a birthday on National Donut Day and no donuts, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went down for Kaylin.
Yes, and I love that you use the word "worked out" for me, because that's exactly what I did.
And I believe, I don't know if I have this right, but Megan, I feel like I saw a post with you in a donut on National Donut Day, one of your very favorites that you were able to have. What donut was that?
It was a Bismarck donut, and it was this peanut butter silk pie, and it had this, like, chocolate frosting, the peanut butter crumbles, and then this peanut butter cream filling. I just thought I would describe it in detail for you both.
Yes. Especially all of the peanut butter.
Yeah, it was just awful. Let me tell you, you're not missing out on anything. It tasted horrible.
Yes, you just hate it. You just hated every single bite that was in your mouth, didn't
yes,
you?
It was torture, as you could see by the picture.
Well, thanks for taking that one for the team and letting us know just how bad
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I do what I can.
Oh, you are a team player. I love you. I love you. Okay, back on track. We have a question from Carla, and she wants to know, what helps you choose which shows you're going to compete in?
For me, it was location, and then organization as well. So I have to compete in a WNBF show. And I personally didn't want to travel too far for any of my shows. I was trying to find some that were fairly close around the Midwest, and, just shows too that I know, you know, who the promoters are. I know they're going to put on a good show, that they care about the athletes. So all of the shows that I chose, I knew it was going to be, you know, an athlete-centered production of sorts. And I had a good experience at all my shows, so it definitely didn't disappoint. But those are I guess, distance, and then the promoters and the reputation of the show in general are a couple things that I look at.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to piggyback that because I had the chance to get down to the heart of America, and it was well run. But one of the things that John Abraham seems to do, along with being a magician and being off at all times, is that he never wants to not ask a question that he feels a competitor is not saying. And for me, that's such a good feeling, because most people, like, okay, let's get the, anybody got any questions, they don't say anything. And then he'll just basically throw out a question to see if anybody was thinking along those lines. As a competitor, especially a pro, how does that make you feel, you know, when you're just sitting in the, and you know, just soaking in the atmosphere?
I mean, it's nice to have a promoter that cares and that's engaging, definitely. And you can just tell, just at the meetings before we went on stage, that he does care about the athletes and that he wants you to have a good experience there and wants it to be kind of an open environment for you to be able to ask questions and to just have a good experience in his show and know what you're doing and feel prepared going on stage.
So let's continue talking about that show, because if I have this correct, was that your first show of this season?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And you had a really good showing there, so I'll let you share with our listeners how you did, but, you know, also share with us how you felt coming into the competition. Did you... You know, I mean, everybody feels good when they're coming in, but did you really feel like, you know what, I think I've got this. This is going to be my show.
No, I actually never feel that way going into a show. I wish I could say I felt more confident, but I really had no idea what to expect this season. I knew that I had made improvements to my physique, and I was really happy with that personally, and for me, that was my goal overall, is I just wanted to be happier with what I was bringing to the stage. So anything else was just, you know, kind of icing on the cake for me. And I knew there weren't going to be many girls going into the show. And so it was just one other competitor and I at that first show. But definitely, I mean, it was Corey Kyle, and we had a lot of fun, just the two of us. And I really had no idea what to expect, because we both have very different looks that we brought to the stage. So really, in my mind, it was just a matter of, well, what are the judges going to prefer? And I wasn't all that familiar with the NGA organization at the time, having not competed with them before. So I really wasn't sure what they were going to do as far as judging. But it was definitely awesome. It was my first pro win, and I was on cloud nine after leaving that show.
Yeah, and there's something to that, too, because, you know, I always think back to Ryan Doris, and he's one of my – I'm one of his biggest fans, but he just tickled me no end when he said, you know, I've won the right to compete on a pro stage, but I still have yet to win on the pro stage as a pro. And that just kind of blew me away, because, you know, everybody is so geared up to, well, bad choice of words. They're so geeked up to get on that pro stage, they almost forget that after the pro card, they're supposed to get the pro win. And, you know, I think that's comical, because, I mean, you very seldom see first pro win or something like that after they compete. It's basically, I got there, and that was enough. But the competitor is still saying, no, there's more. There's more to this story. And they keep going. So, I'm glad you took that time off. But I'm also glad that you're talking about the other side of the story, which is not just competing on a pro stage, but actually winning. Because I think that so many are winning without the intent to improve beyond what they did to win on an amateur side. And that's a big difference. Now that you've stepped on the stage with the pro lady, I'm sure you can go further into that. on, you know, just how great a difference it is from being the amateur competitor to a pro competitor.
Yeah, definitely. I think being on the amateur stage is kind of more about building your physique up to that point. And then once you're on the pro stage, it's more about refining it and continuing to refine it. So definitely for me, stepping off the stage, you know, I'm already thinking of things that I want to improve on for next season just to keep, you know, making little tweaks and improving from year to year.
Oh, and that is actually a great segue into our next question that we have from Linda, and she's wanting to know if you're planning to take another long break.
Yeah, I think I do. I would like to try to go to the max amount of time that I can before I have to compete again. So I was thinking probably spring of 2019 or maybe possibly fall of 2018, just because I saw the improvements that I was able to make taking a long off season last time. And it is really hard to be patient and to, you know, see other competitors, you know, continue to step on stage, and you start to get kind of antsy just sitting back in your off season. But once you really do, you know, compare progress pictures and you see that just how much you've built and the progress that you've made, it's worth it. It's worth being patient and just giving yourself a break mentally and your hormones a break. So I definitely do think I plan to take a longer off season again to just continue to make improvements.
Okay, very good. So I guess I'm interested in one thing, not one thing, several things, but during that off season, I mean, I've seen your pictures from when you first got started and then where you were this season, and your improvements were tremendous. They're phenomenal. So I'm just curious as to what more it is that you want to tweak. And as you answer that, Sam, one of our listeners, wants to know, during your last improvement season, so I'm asking you to kind of jump back and forth between two, prior improvement season and the future, how you went about gaining your muscle without, I guess, what I'll call a dirty bulk, or just putting on all the fat that is, you know, I guess part of old school bulking thinking, because I'm going to assume you're going to be following a similar pattern during your upcoming prep season as well.
Yeah, I think I was focusing, so before I started into this last off season, I was kind of focusing on my nutrition and tracking macros a little bit, but I wasn't really doing all that I could as far as meal timing and making sure I was eating enough food. And this past off season, I really tried to focus on making sure I was getting enough food and trying to, you know, time my meals around my workouts better just to actually fuel my body the proper way. So once I started focusing on that a little bit more, and, you know, like I said, I increased the amount of food I was eating, and I think that actually helped my metabolism, probably sped it up a little bit. I've always had a little bit higher of a metabolism and have been able to eat a little bit more food without, you know, kind of going over a certain body fat point. But yeah, I'm not really sure how I was able to put on more size, but I really think it was just focusing more on nutrition and also having a balance. So I never, I didn't strictly track and weigh and measure all my food over my off season. I actually just kind of loosely had an idea of what I was eating, but for me, part of not getting into that obsessive rut that is so easy to fall into with competitors sometimes is not tracking every single little thing and worrying about it so much. And I think just not, you know, even not having that stress that you're placing on your body can help you make even more improvements. Because you're not, you know, you're just allowing yourself to relax and live your life without becoming obsessive.
Yes, and we're gonna stay on this because, you know, when people are hearing that, you know, somebody's winning and they're winning often, they want to mirror that life. And I'm glad that you're bringing out that, you know, this is something that you enjoy. It's still fun to do. It's not that burden, because there's so much that goes on And honestly, like in the past, I the last thing I wanted to do ever was compete in a bodybuilding show, because just when I was reading social media and everything else, it sucked. You know, the food sucked. Everything was terrible. If I could just grind it out these last 2 weeks, and I had a sports background, so it just hurt to even hear that. I'm thinking, man, whoever put these people into this sport must have really disliked them a lot, because it didn't seem like anything about it was fun. I mean, like every sport has those days and those times where you hit the wall and you just don't want to do, but you, because you have such passion for it, you find a way. But bodybuilding just didn't even remotely seem close to that kind of lifestyle. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, now that I know better, you know, of course, that I don't see it that way. But back in the day, it just seemed like it was this Mount Everest that went to the moon. And when you started getting up high enough to get first place, you didn't even have oxygen to yell out. So I'm glad that you can share the good parts of it. And also say that, you know, if you can fall into those pitfalls just like everybody else, because that's what everybody should need to, well, everybody needs to hear. But to let it come from somebody that's winning, it can be heard a lot better. So thank you so much for sharing that. And we've got a very high female view on listenership, so they're really impressed by what you're saying. Because it's like, it almost sounds like the win wasn't the goal. It was the improvement that you were looking for.
Yep, and that's 100% correct for me. That was my main goal going into the season, was to improve upon my physique, and that definitely 100% was the win for me. And I kind of started to see the improvements in my physique as I got closer and closer to my stage time, and I was already happy. So, like I said, the actual win, like, yes, we're all competitive to a degree. We all want to do well in the show itself, but I was just thrilled at the progress that I had made in those 2 years that I had taken off. And it's definitely really important to me when I talk to other competitors that are just getting started with the sport, to let them know that, you know, you can start to see their wheels turning and them, you know, just becoming obsessive about everything that they put in their bodies. And that's why I definitely do think it's important to have proper nutrition and to know that you're getting enough food, but you don't have to start, you know, becoming obsessive and worrying about every, you know, every little detail and every almond that you're eating. And that's taking the enjoyment out of it.
It sure is. You hear stories about coaches that have to talk their athletes down off the roof, so to speak, because they ate a muffin top when it didn't fit in their
right.
carbs. And trust me, I know that feeling. I know what that is. But, you know, it is important to keep it all in perspective, and that it's not the end of the world if situations
exactly.
like that happen. But, you know, it is
right.
important to at least have those skills to regroup, bring it back into perspective, and then, you know, keep moving forward. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
There's definitely a place for it during your prep, you know, when you do have to be a little bit more strict. But in your off season, you know, if you eat a cheeseburger, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to undo all of your hard work.
Yeah, there you go. So I want to take a step back real quick to when you were talking about being on stage, the John Abraham show, and you had referenced that you had brought a totally different package to the stage than what Corey Kyle, the other pro, had brought to the stage. What did you view mm-hmm. were the differences between your two body types?
Definitely conditioning. So, you know, I feel like Corey had absolutely amazing conditioning. I don't think even if I tried my hardest, I could ever probably get to that level of leanness just with my body type. But I think I had just had a little bit more of a fuller look, definitely a little
mm-hmm.
bit less lean. And then rather than more of that harder, more shredded look. So I just wasn't sure throughout my whole season. I kind of tried to, you know, my coach Brandon and I, we tried to kind of go in between. So still trying to maintain some size, but also having decent conditioning. And so I think, you know, one of my goals for next season too is to even work a little bit more to get a little bit tighter conditioning even for next time. But I was just thrilled because I came in with way more conditioning than I did the last time I competed. So I was at least very happy with that.
That's awesome. And, you know, and I find that interesting that you bring that up because we have kind of had that conversation along the bodybuilding lines of things where we're starting to see kind of a split in the kind mm-hmm. of athletes, I shouldn't say the conditioning of bodybuilders that are making it to the stage. And they're either have more size and are not quite as lean, or they are super ripped with smaller size. And it sounds like, you know, that same conversation is being had along the different classes that are out there in bodybuilding, mm-hmm. which I just find to be very interesting because even on the bikini line, you hear that same conversation as well. So, Kaylin, I know
yeah.
you have some very specific thoughts on that, but it's just something that I'm interested to watch and see how it evolves as the sport continues to evolve.
That'll be another show, but that's it's just something my question, and it'll always be, all right, how lean is too lean? Because if we're dealing with health and fitness, I don't want to get to a state of unhealth and people are trying to do it. Because, you know, like, even in the modeling industry, they're toning back on just how lean people can be because the health is at such a risk. And, you know, Lee had brought it up a couple of times. He and I have shared this conversation. And it's about the internal organs take a beating when there's not enough nutrients, nutrition, and basically overall good health running around to keep them going. And I don't want us to get to where we're like the enhanced community where nothing matters but the look being presented on stage. I don't ever want to get to that state where somebody's health basically goes on the back burner for a week or two, and some of these people are, oh my goodness, they're doing 4 or 5 weeks of just horrid nutrition. So, you know, I'm always mindful of that, and as big a fan as I am of natural bodybuilding, I do want to make sure that we don't step over that cliff to where people don't matter. It's, you know, how much seats we're filling, how many places we can fill in. You know, I just don't want it to get where the person is no longer human. I want humanity to always be a part of natural bodybuilding, always.
Gotcha. Good points. And you're right. That probably is a whole other show in and of itself. So let me jump back to tonight's show and Belle. And she wants to know if you, Megan, have anyone in the sport that you would love to be able to compete against. That's a good question, though.
Well, I don't never really view the sport as competing against somebody else. Or I actually, when I'm on stage, I don't even really think about the other athletes that are on the stage. To me, this sport is, it's almost like a solo sport. Yes, you're up there with other people, but this is me against me and me versus me, and I think that's the healthiest way for me to think about it. I don't like to compare myself to other people. It's really easy to do, especially with social media, and you just meet so many awesome women through this sport and at the different shows, and all of them are in the same boat, going through the same thing and trying to make improvements to their physiques. And so I really just view it as I'm competing against myself. I'm trying to better myself every time I step on stage rather than, you know, oh, there's one person I really want to beat out there.
Well, and then on the flip side of that, part two, Belle also wants to know if you have a favorite female competitor in the sport. So not necessarily that you want to compete against her, but that has been
yeah.
a role model for you in the sport.
Yeah, I actually have a few. So one of them is Mary Belle. She's a WMBF figure pro, and she helped me when I was first getting started in the sport. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and she actually has a couple English Bulldogs, and I have an English Bulldog as well. So we met randomly on Facebook in an English Bulldog group of all places, and I saw Figure Pro attached to her name, and I said, can I ask you some questions? And I messaged her, and she was so sweet and so humble, and she actually helped write the rules for the WMBF, and I had no idea at the time. So she helped me, answered so many of my questions. And then another person is Ann Glynn, who was my opposing coach, and she's just a strong woman inside and out. I love Ann, so I definitely look up to Ann. And then lastly, I would say Heather Drake, who is a figure, a WMBF and IPE figure pro. And when I was getting started lifting, I always would look at her pictures, and I would tell Chad that I wanted to make my physique look like her. She kind of was the embodiment of what figure should be in my eyes. And it was really cool because I actually met her in Ohio at the second show I did this season, and she actually judged me. So that was really fun. I felt like it kind of came full circle.
Wow. Yeah,
exactly. That the word that I would use to describe that as well. So, I mean, that is fun. And, you know, the natural bodybuilding community is small enough and close-knit enough that it is neat when you can have experiences like that. So, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Linda wants to know if you are a personal trainer and if you still dance.
Well, now I only dance just, I guess, weddings and definitely not competitively, just, you know, on my own time, I suppose. But, and no, I'm not a personal trainer. I enjoy working out. Mostly I work out on my own. I have programs that I follow. Actually, Chad still writes all my strength and conditioning programs. So I've never gotten into the personal training. I think it's important if, you know, I myself don't have that background, I wouldn't feel comfortable training somebody else. It's always, like to give advice where I can.
Preach. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is a breath of fresh air. Thank you for saying that. And oh, my goodness. Just thank you for saying that. That's so nice to hear because, you know, a lot of people can fall under pressure and do things that they shouldn't. And like you said, I've told people, I like, there's some jobs that just have to be personal. And doctors, policemen, nurses, firemen, trainers, it has to mean more than a paycheck because you're dealing with somebody's life. And I can't see anyone that's basically just saying, oh, you know, it's kind of here or there. And I'm just afraid when I hear that because I know that person's not going to get the attention that they need to actually succeed. But I'd like to get back to that dance because I know those muscles took some work. And, you know, basically people think of dance and they think, oh, at the club. Dance is a lot of repetition, a lot of fatigue, a lot of cramps, and a lot of sore joints and muscles until you figure it out. That had to be a great tool, basically, to learn different parts of your muscles and basically see if this is something you'd want to do or not for, you know, for a long term.
And there's that whole stage element, that whole performance element with dance as well, which just kind of intersects with the bodybuilding world as well. So it's just fun to be. It honestly helps you with even down to the smallest detail, like keeping a smile on your face. I mean, that's something in dance that if you're in a competitive dance routine, if you drop your smile and a judge sees that, you would get marked down. So even just, you know, being aware of different angles of your body and those little tiny performance elements, I feel, you know, dance lends itself really well to that and definitely helped me out.
And it's not an easy thing, and I just hope everyone understands that there's a difference because, you know, they hear dance and they think, oh, yeah, I'll be up in there. No, it's not up in there. You're tired. And you're worn out, and you still got to get it right because so-and-so ain't hit his steps yet. But I'm going to go back on to the P4P bandwagon because, hey, it's the P4P show and we got every right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I love Chad's brain. I just love it, and I love the direction that he goes when he's dealing with his people and when he's dealing with the company. And basically when he's dealing with anything, he puts his heart into it. And now he's got this new blog and new Coach's Corner. How do you feel watching this fella, you know, basically share with the world what you've been knowing for quite some time?
I think that I'm happy for him. I think it's awesome because he's, as far as his training goes, he doesn't like to promote himself too much. I mean, he's fairly quiet and humble about it. So there's not really been an outlet for him to kind of share his knowledge with people. I've referred people to him that have asked about my training, but he'll never really go out of his way to promote himself. So I think it's really cool that through P4P he's able to do that. And his programming, I mean, it's helped me so much completely transform my physique, but I've also seen what it's done for friends and other athletes that he's worked with. He has a way of just helping them completely build up their physiques through his programming.
Well, and he's just such a fountain of knowledge. I know our listeners love to pick his brain when we have him on the show, and we can never get him on here enough because he's just so darn busy. I always love to have him and to share, you know, all of the different things that he's been able to help you with and then carry that knowledge out onto our listeners. So I have a question, and I think I know the answer, but I'll go ahead and ask it. Is I believe it's Stephanie wants to know, did you have a stage name when you were dancing?
A stage name? No, it wasn't.
A stage name.
It wasn't that kind of dance. It was on a dance team. So, I guess people call me Gaza by my last name. That's as close to a stage name as I got.
Well, I figured as much, but, you know, we try to ask all questions. Our listeners feel kind of sad when they ask questions and we don't ask them. So as long as they're within the realm of discussion, we try to go ahead and get those out there. So so you won your first show. Tell us a little bit about your second show and you know, how was that experience any different than your first, or how did that show go for you?
Well, it was 2 weeks after my first show, after I won my pro card, and I had to quick change my registration and be able to compete as a pro in that show. And I was actually really, really intimidated and not confident going into my first pro show. I just didn't feel, I mean, it was only the second show I had done, so I was really, really nervous, and I just tried to do my best out there, and I just remember they were going to call the top five, and I did not think I placed in the top five, so I actually started walking backstage as they were calling the top five, because there was no way I placed, I thought, and then I heard my number, and I kind of turned around, and I was like, wait, did they say number eight? I had to literally ask somebody because I was that sure I wasn't going to place. And I ended up taking fifth, and I was just absolutely over the moon to have placed in the top five in my first pro show that I did. And I was just really, really excited about that. And all the girls that I met there were really nice, and it just got me really excited to take my long off season and to actually come back feeling like I could be at that level and ready to actually bring something competitive at that level. Because at that point in time, I didn't feel like I was ready to be there. I didn't feel like I belonged there yet.
All right. Kaylin, did you have a question you needed to jump in with or wanted to jump in with, I should say?
Yeah, I do. The one that I have to ask, it deals with kind of the competition, but it also deals with the biggest thing that Des and I like to talk about, and that's posing. Because, you know, there's a lot of times as competitors, we see better physiques backstage. But when we get on stage, we can see all the time that was lost with not posing and they're not doing the presentation right. And as a competitor, does that kind of take the wind out of your sails when you know that they, if they just done more work? I mean, because, like, I'm competitive, but I want the best person to win. And sometimes backstage, it's not the person that's winning on stage. And I can say that about me because it's me, so I'm not basically talking against anybody. And there were times when I actually stepped up and placed in the top five, when, like Megan was saying, where I felt backstage just watching what, you know, with the physiques that were back there, that maybe, I didn't earn that until, you see the posing and the pictures and you realize, oh, wow. So, you know, for the person coming up, Megan, posing, the importance of it, and how much time you spend during your prep doing.
Yeah, I think, well, the posing is definitely important because I've even watched shows where I've seen people that you can tell they have a really awesome physique, but they don't really know how to show it, or they can't feel their muscles doing the right thing as they're posing. I worked with, like I mentioned, Ann Glynn. She was my posing coach, and just kind of watching how she presents herself on the stage, that was a good role model for me to go off of. But to be honest, I didn't spend too much time practicing my posing, just because, and that's bad, nobody should listen to that, but it's just something that's always kind of come naturally to me. So, and I still have things that I've noticed with my posing that I want to try differently or improve on, but I never really know what I want to do with my T-walk or anything till I'm kind of just ready to go out there, and I like to just kind of have it be a natural thing for me and a little bit spur of the moment with that, just so it doesn't look too overly rehearsed. But that's probably one of the easier aspects of the sport for me personally. And I think that is partially due to my background with dance and one of the easiest things that to control for me. I mean, even if you can't control what the judges are going to do or what look they're going for and how lean you're going to get sometimes, to me that is the one thing that is within your control to always improve on.
You know, and I hear that quite commonly about or from athletes who have dance as a background, that posing is an aspect of the sport that comes easier to them. So it's not the case for me, but I envy that. So I definitely think that's an awesome skill set to be able to have, where posing just clicks like that. So we're getting to the part of the show that's always so sad, and that's when we are starting to run out of time. So as we do that, and we haven't had a chance to do this in so long, so I want to make sure we get it in here tonight. But we all know that even though this is a singular sport and that a lot of the times we are competing against ourselves, that we never get to the stage by ourselves. So we always like to give our guests the opportunity to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone that helped them along the way, and want to go ahead and give you that opportunity now.
Yeah, well, definitely have to thank my coach this season. I started working with a new coach. It's Brandon Wattis with Iron Management Nutrition Systems, and he really helped me during my prep just to bring in the best package that I possibly could. And like I said, I reached a level of conditioning I didn't think was possible, so I definitely have to thank him for all of his help and guidance through my prep. And then, like I mentioned, Chad has written my strength and conditioning programs since I started in 2012. And so thanks to his programming and even going into this off season, I really appreciate all of his time and effort there. And then to Ann Glynn as well, as I mentioned, she has worked with me on my posing. And I also have to give a quick shout-out to Dr. J. He's my chiropractor, and without him, my body would be broken and falling apart this season, so I have to thank him as well. I know people don't typically thank their chiropractors, but he honestly helped me through a knee injury at the beginning of my prep, so I have to thank Dr. J with Belleville Chiropractic for sure.
You can thank Dr. J all day. I just saw a basketball player in a Sixers uniform working on your chiropractic, and that was funny to me. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm back. All right, Des.
All right, so any last-minute questions, Kaylin, before we close?
No, we got them all. I think there was is she still looking for any dancing in the future? That's the last one. This is from Bethany. Any future plans to do dance now that she's winning in the – does she think that she can piggyback that?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like there's not many opportunities for at least competitive dance anymore as an adult. So, no, I guess more just a personal hobby now, but nothing I really intend to pursue moving forward. I think bodybuilding and just being on stage and the posing, that kind of takes over that need in my life for the presentation side of it.
Very cool. So last question for me, as a figure pro, what advice do you have for our listeners who are aspiring figure competitors?
I think the most important thing is to, you know, find a good coach. I would say, you know, someone that's going to prioritize your health. And then also just to remember to keep your balance. It can be easy to just dive in headfirst in the sport and kind of lose sight of the other elements in your life, whether it's your family, your social life, those types of things. So just being able to maintain that sense of a normal life while you have your competitive goals as well.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Megan. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me.
And wish you the best in your next off season. And if you should decide to come back next fall of 2018, you do know that P4P Undefeated is in August, correct?
Yes, I do. And actually, I'm getting started with judging. I'm just starting to get into the judging process. So I actually hope to be able to help judge that show.
All right,
the other
very
side
cool.
Of the table.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm very
glad I threw that out there to get that little tidbit. Yes. Awesome. Well, good. Well, we look forward to seeing you there one way or another, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you, you guys.
All right, another good one. How exciting is that? Yes. Looking at getting interested into the judging aspect of things and sitting on a judging panel. Woo, that'll be fun.
Yes, it will. And I got to give a shout-out to Ann Glenn as well, because she's a gem, a nugget that a lot of people in the business know, but a lot of people that are not really familiar with it might not. And she's just a wonderful person, very energetic, very outgoing, and very giving. So I just want to piggyback what Megan was saying and how she does and goes about what she's doing. That's beautiful. So I just love that, is we have so many people that are just in this sport because they truly love what they're doing.
Yeah, that's always an awesome thing when you see that coming together. So hand clap for there. And, one thing that I did forget to mention at the beginning of the show, because I was just so excited on getting into the show, is that we had a lot of outstanding questions from our last show last Thursday about natural bodybuilding and the latest athletes that had failed their drug screening. So we are going to regroup, readdress, and be ready to bring that back full circle on our show coming up this Thursday. So if you were one of the folks that still had questions or were confused a little bit by the level of information that was being shared, and don't get me wrong, it was all great information, but it was almost kind of in the weeds. It was very specific, where if you didn't have a more in-depth understanding of everything that
you know, all of the different drugs that are out there and what they do and when you can take some of them and when you can't and just how all of that works together, we want to bring more clarity to that. So a lot of great information. We want to bring it into bite-sized chunks and for better understanding, and we'll be doing that on Thursday.
Yes. And also talking about some other things.
Okay, I'm not sure what they are, but the way he's giggling, I'm sure they're going to be good. So I look forward to that as well. It's always a surprise there. So with that, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle, not on a donut.
Oh, but it wasn't on a donut, but I saw an awesome recipe on social media this past week, and it was for a snickerdoodle pizookie, I believe is what it was called. And it was a cookie-type, s'mores-type pizza dessert recipe made with snickerdoodle protein. So we'll have to get that shared to the Midwest Muscle page so everyone can check that out because the macros were really quite impressive, and it looked very ooey gooey and delicious. So we'll want to get that out there for you. It's okay, Kaylin. You're only 3 weeks out, buddy. You can make it. You're going to be okay. Shoot. So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, Snickerdoodle, and although I am a chocolate fan, but we're going to give the Snickerdoodle shout out tonight, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple. So let's build it.